You are listening to Australia's tax news podcast, Tax Talks, the podcast for Australian tax professionals.
Welcome to episode 43 of Tax Talks. This is Heide Robson. Most of us will only ever sell an accounting or tax practice once, if at all, or maybe twice. But we definitely don't get any practice runs. Stephen Fine of Focus Grows is a specialist business broker in the sale of financial services practices. I'm keen to understand from Stephen, what are the top 10 mistakes sellers make so we can avoid them in the future? Here's Stephen.
So the first mistake is not having well-prepared data, untidy data that really affects buyer's confidence. So we spend a fair bit of time. We've got a lot of templates that we can provide and work with sellers to collate the data in the best possible way. So badly prepared business data is one of the mistakes.
And is it the biggest one, kind of top of the list, that you see the most often happen?
It's one of them. I'd say one of the other ones is just going in there not clear what outcome you're looking for. You know, before we talk to sellers that say, okay, look, let's have a meeting with these guys, with these guys, and see what happens. Well, we advise against that because then you're just going to go.
You're wasting everybody's time.
Yeah, you're just going to go with wherever the wind's going. It's important to really get a clear picture of what you're looking for, because if you don't,
you get talked into something.
Either that, or when it is presented to you, you don't recognise that this is the opportunity because you haven't articulated what the ideal outcome. So we work with sellers, and we say, okay, well, in a perfect world, what does it look like? You know, let's break it down. Let's describe, the elements and the pricing, the transition, all of these things to consider. Let's talk it through, and at least what you're aiming for. Another mistake is assuming that the finance is in place from the buyer. And this is a common problem. A lot of buyers would say, look, we're all good. Finance, no problem. And at that point, they may even believe that finance is not a problem. But the problem arises
When they go to the bank.
And the banks don't want to commit anything in writing. So you've got the business development exec saying, yeah, it's all good, it's all good. And then it goes to credit, and credit says, sorry, the bank says no. And the problem is you only know that towards the very, very end. You know, some of the banks actually want to see the contract before they give the green light. So you're never quite sure if it's subject to finance, whether it's going to come good or not. Mm. So we spend a lot of time with the buyers to understand which financial institution are they going to, what are they actually presenting to the lenders, is there a high probability that it's going to go through or not. We've got a number of associates that we kind of bounce these things off to get a sense of whether they feel, they're from the industry or they've worked for the banks previously, whether they feel that, the funding's going to come through.
And so are most contracts subject to finance?
Yeah.
Because that means it's basically...
Are most of them? Well, a lot of them. Mm. A lot of them.
Because that basically gives a back door to the buyer. The buyer can always claim, oh, I didn't get finance.
Yes, but at that stage, one would have hoped to have qualified that the buyer is genuine, really is interested in the business, that the due diligence has been done, and it's not because of due diligence, that it's been ticked off and they're happy with it. Look, to go down that path, and it costs money to get the loan as well, so you're not going to go to all that trouble unless you're really serious. Mm-hmm. It's just the disappointment comes in when everybody thought that the finance was coming through and it doesn't.
How do you get paid? Do you get paid like a real estate agent at the very end when the sale happens, or do you already get paid along the way?
It's similar to real estate. We get paid a little bit up front, but the bulk is success-based. So once the transaction happens.
So that was three mistakes so far.
Three mistakes.
The first one is not being clear on what you want. The second one, the first one was having your data not in order. Second one was not being clear on what you want.
Yep.
Third one was assuming that the buyer has the finance without knowing.
Yep.
Fourth.
Look, I think this just being, not being fully transparent with buyers. You know,
hiding some skeletons in the closet.
Yeah, look, it's put it all out there. Every business there's going to be some negatives. Well, let's talk about them. It's not, if you hide it, and then it comes out later, the buyer's lost
confidence.
And again, I can think of an example where, and this is a crazy example, where the seller didn't mention something in the very first meeting which they should have mentioned.
It was
to do with the debt that was on the business. Ultimately, they'd actually addressed that issue, but they should have mentioned it at that very first meeting. And the negotiations went on and on and on and on and on. And again, this is another situation where contracts were drawn up, everyone's ready to go, and the buyer just felt uneasy at the last minute.
Because he sensed something, there was something.
It was something was, so it was a lady, she said, just had a funny feeling. And this little white lie in the very first meeting just playing on my mind. And I'm just thinking, what else haven't they told me? And I just can't go through with it. You know, it turns out it wasn't that big a deal. It was just that it was held back.
Mm.
So, look, our view is, put it all out there. You know, it's a sale, but it's also two parties that need to
trust
each other.
Mm.
So that's...
Yeah, and I can imagine in these business sales, especially a sale of a professional practice and professional services practice, trust plays a big role.
Because
it's not like when you buy a house and you can see exactly the way the house is built, etc.
Correct.
In a professional services practice, it's a lot harder to actually see it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. A couple of other mistakes. Expecting it to be plain sailing. It's great when everything works, and, we've had transactions where it's just been getting all the green lights, traffic lights at once, and it's just been very smooth. But you kind of want to expect a few bumps along the way. And it's an emotional journey, for some people it's a business they've been attached to for 30 years, and all of a sudden, someone's messing with your child and you've got an attachment. So there's an emotional aspect to it. So, it can be bumpy. And the other thing is not asking the hard questions early on. There might be a question that you're dying to ask, but you think, we'll just leave that for down the track. Just get everything out early, and that can save a lot of time and frustration down the track. The other mistake is, just dealing with one buyer, not casting a wide net. If a buyer knows that they're the only party, very often they may lowball, they might drag the chain. It's as a seller, you're in a lot better position if you are
creating FOMO.
Fear of missing out, exactly. And a healthy competitive spirit around the sale. Yeah, that helps move the process along and get a better outcome. Absolutely. If you're selling a house, you want to get the best price, invite more people to the auction. So
I think that was number 7.
Yeah. And the other one is not protecting one's anonymity. Going out there and you need to produce some pretty sensitive information, and once you've given it, and the person ends up not buying, well, you've told your secrets, and you feel exposed, and then that person's got the information, and you got nothing.
But
so
isn't that a risk anyway? Even if the buyer is genuine, the seller is genuine, the seller puts everything on the table, puts it all out there, and then in the end the deal falls through and the buyer walks away with a very, very good understanding of your business.
Well, we make buyers sign a very, very tight non-disclosure document. It's very tight. So the more formal you make the process, the less likely there is to be damage from information that gets out.
If the buyer is a competitor, then the buyer has the good knowledge of that business.
Again, comes back to our non-disclosure documents. You are exposing the business.
Hmm. Is there another error?
Well, one is, fighting, that whole concept, winning the battle but losing the war.
Fighting so hard about
fighting for a particular clause. Point, exactly, for a particular clause. And in the big picture, it's not the most important thing. So, there's also like seeing what's an ego.
Mm.
Ego kills the deal. The two parties who meet and they completely disagree about a particular approach, for example, and, no one's given ground and they can't work together.
And so the advice is probably pick your battles.
Pick your battles, absolutely. Yeah.
So don't fight over little things.
Yeah.
Let them win the points that are not important and stand your ground on the one or two important points.
Yeah, and I think also, just going back to getting clear on what you want at the beginning, that's really where you want to, make it clear what your ideal outcome is. Right, not along the way, because then you can lose face if I didn't mention that. No, I'm sorry, I need to just take that back. We always encourage the parties to say, okay, well, let's look at the ideal outcome. What are the absolute non-negotiables? Let's talk about that.
Mm.
Had we done it with that seller that I'd mentioned who freaked out about moving offices, it may have saved a lot of time for everybody. He said, well, look, I will not do any transactions if I have to move offices. Maybe we should have clarified that earlier. Yeah, and I think the final mistake is you can't wing it. You need to have a formal process in place. I see so many people saying, look, let's have the meeting and see what happens. Well, it's not going to go your way. I think you need to have a strategy, follow the strategy step by step. The more formal it is, the better outcome you're going to have for everybody. So I think those are the key mistakes that we've certainly seen over the time we've been doing this.
Welcome back. So these are the top 10 mistakes to avoid when selling. I think they are all very easy mistakes to make. In the next episode, episode 44, Mike O'Hagan of Mike's Business Tours will talk about offshoring to the Philippines. Until then, thank you for listening. Bye for now and see you in the next episode.